Now, let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about what is taking place in America and around the globe. And in America, if no other place, it's causing a major panic, a panic. The stock market is responding to the panic. The stock market has dropped from about approaching 29,000 to right now it's bounced back to just a little over 23,000. But in that drop in the stock market, there's been some $5 to $6 trillion that's been lost out of individuals' accounts for retirement, et cetera, et cetera. We're talking about what is taking place that's bringing on this panic in America. But as Christians, as believers, as those that have trusted Christ as Savior, those that love the Lord, those that are looking to God for insight and wisdom and direction, we need to be encouraged to be faithful and to show faith and to express faith and not fear and panic. There are some things we need to understand, ladies and gentlemen, just simply from the sheer human standpoint. I'm looking at an article that is from a physician. It says, here's what I have done and the precaution that I take and will take. And I think that we need to be reasonable. We need to look at it. We have a pandemic, as it is called, because it has spread globally. We are looking at a virus that we're traveling in uncharted territories that we do not know. Even physicians are saying that they're having the medical science, that is, they're saying they're having problems trying to develop a vaccine or some antidote for the virus, and said it would be 12 to 18 months in developing that. So we can't just sit back and say that we do nothing, but as Christians, we need to do what is expected and is needful and necessary from the human standpoint, and then from the spiritual standpoint, we need to faith God. But this physician says here, handshake, no handshaking. Use the fist bump or the elbow bump. Secondly, he says, use only knuckles to touch light switches and elevator buttons. Third, he says, open doors with your closed fist or your hip. Fourth, use disinfectant wipes at the stores when they are available, including wiping the handles of the child seat in the grocery stores, etc. Number five, wash your hands with soap for up to 10 to 20 seconds. Six, keep a bottle of sanitizer available at each of your home's entrances. Seven, if possible, call for sneeze and a disposable tissue and discard it. And then further, he goes on, stop touching your face. In this article, he says that most humans do not recognize we touch our nose, our mouth, our face some 90 times a day without realizing it, without knowing it. He says use latex gloves, disposable gloves, when you're going shopping if possible, especially when you handle the gas pump handles because so many have touched it. The virus spreads in large droplets from coughing and sneezing. He says the virus can remain dormant on counters and shelves and flat areas for up to 9 days, so therefore you need to clean the spaces. Stock up with hand sanitizers. Everybody's done that. Dr. Phelps, I found you can't find hand sanitizers in the store. You can't find Lysol in the stores for the most part because it's been scooped up. And there are those that are gougers that are buying it by the hundred, putting it back on eBay and Craigslist and other areas. In fact, I read an article that said eBay and Amazon, they're selling the hand sanitizer, 4-ounce bottle, for $50. They're selling a can of Lysol that normally sell for $3 to $5. They're selling it for $50 online. And it's just gouging. It's taking advantage of the panic that's in America. It says further in this doctor's notice, stock up on hand sanitizers or latex gloves. Stock up now on zinc lozenges. And that's a good antidote, I believe. And he is right on target. Here's something that is from one physician that sets the stage for where we want to go, ladies and gentlemen. By the way, it just popped in my mind. Geraldo Rivera. He still has his left-wing liberal background. He was saying on this morning's Fox News that what the President Trump ought to do and what the House and the Senate ought to approve is giving every American citizen, every human being in America, every citizen needs to be given a $1,000 check so that it will help them get through this time. Now, if that's not pure unadulterated socialism, nothing is. But here's another article from a physician that I'll take time to share before we get into the biblical truth that needs to be the focus of what we're wanting to say today. This article says, I'm a doctor and an infectious disease specialist. I've been at this for more than 20 years, seeing sick patients on a daily basis. I've worked in inner city hospitals and in the poorest slums of Africa with HIV, AIDS, hepatitis, TB, SARS, measles, shingles, whooping cough, diphtheria. There's little I haven't been exposed to in my profession. And with notable exception of SARS, very little has left me feeling vulnerable, overwhelmed, or downright scared. He says, what I am scared about is the loss of reason and the wave of fear that has been introduced in the masses of society in this spellbinding spiral of panic, stockpiling obscene quantities of everything that could fill up a bomb shelter adequately in a post-apocalyptic world. I am scared of the N95 masks that are stolen from the hospitals and urgent care clinics where they're actually needed for frontline healthcare providers instead of being donned in airports, malls, and coffee lounges, perpetrating even more fear and suspicion of others. I'm scared that our hospitals will be overwhelmed with anyone who thinks they probably don't have, but think that they have the virus and need to get checked. And those who have heart failure, emphysema, pneumonia, and strokes will pay the price of the overfilled waiting rooms in the ER and the physicians' offices and nurses trying to assist them. I'm scared, he says, that travel restrictions will become so far-reaching that weddings will be canceled, graduations missed, family reunions will not materialize, as well as even that big party called the Olympic Games that could be the kibasa known too soon. Even so, imagine. I'm scared that those same epidemic fears will limit trade, harm partnerships, multiply sectors, business, and otherwise, and ultimately culminate in global recession. But mostly, I'm scared about what message we're telling our kids and others when faced with the threat. Instead of reason, rationality, optimism, we are telling our kids to panic, be fearful, suspicious, be reactionary, and self-interested. The coronavirus is nowhere near over. It will be coming to a city, a hospital, a friend, or even family member near you at some point. Expect it. Stop waiting to be surprised. The fact is, the virus itself will not likely do much harm when it arrives. But our own behaviors, our own fright for your own self, and the attitudes we have will prove very disastrous. I implore you, this is a physician speaking, temper fears with reason, panic, and patience, unnecessarily with education. Let's meet this challenge together in the best spirit of compassion for each other and with patience and, above all, unfailing effort to seek truth, facts, and knowledge as opposed to conjecture, speculation, catastrophizing, and fear. Ladies and gentlemen, I couldn't have said it better myself. Dr. Phelps, you've heard the monologue, you've heard the dialogue, you've heard the discussion, and from the caller and what's been discussed in relationship to that, we're living today in a total state of panic and confusion and fear and anxiety. And I believe, ladies and gentlemen, in this environment, the question that we must ask is just how should we as Christians respond? Dr. Phelps, how should we respond? What ought be? And I understand we need to wash our hands. I understand we need to take care for cleanliness. I understand that we need to be careful that if we're exposed, that we do not expose others, et cetera. But are we to shut down churches, shut down business, shut down enterprise, and crawl into the closet and be fearful? What does the Bible say? What text should we go to, Dr. Phelps, in relationship to calming the fears and replacing fear with faith?
There are many places in the Scriptures where we can go to find directions for living by faith. One of the first that I have in mind is in Psalm 57, verses 1 and 2. The psalmist has a lot to say about how to live by faith. He said, "Be merciful unto me, O God, be merciful unto me, for my soul trusteth in thee. Yea, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge. Until these calamities be overpassed, I will cry unto God Most High, unto God that performeth all things for me." We can rejoice to know that we can trust in God. We can put our trust in Him and know that He will calm our fears. He will give us confidence and hope and blessing so that we can face these calamities.
Absolutely. Dr. Phelps, as you're making that statement, I'm pondering other text, and it comes to mind. The scripture says it's appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. And as I've studied that text, ladies and gentlemen, in the Greek text, it literally means at a point in time past, God determined when we would be born, and God simultaneously determined when we would die. So our days, our life, our every breath, our every heartbeat is in the hand of God. And therein we ought to place our faith. Now, that doesn't mean we're to go out and be reckless. That doesn't mean we're to step out in front of a speeding car. That does not in any means that we say that we should be non-concerned about this coronavirus. That means we ought to take every step possible. I believe that we should be concerned, yes. I believe that we should recognize that all the needs and the recommended steps should be taken from the medical standpoint, yes. But I don't believe Dr. Phelps Christians should cower into fear. I believe we should faith God. What else do you think the scripture says in relationship to that, that our listeners need to be? I want our listeners to be comforted, encouraged, and challenged to be faithful and stand faith in God.
In the book of Isaiah as well, we have words of comfort and encouragement, especially Isaiah 41:10.
Yes.
Fear thou not. God says, fear thou not. Don't be afraid, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. And those are words to God's people to encourage us to look to the Lord.
And Dr. Phelps, as I look at that text, it's a fascinating, wonderful text, ladies and gentlemen. And again, Dr. Phelps said it's in Isaiah 41:10, and it's in the imperative voice, it is fear not. It is a command from God. Literally, Dr. Phelps would be saying, stop being fearful. Stop being afraid. And then that text says, for, and it would literally mean because. Why should we be unafraid? Because I am with thee, God says. Be not dismayed. And Dr. Phelps, that's an unusual word because dismayed there literally means fearful, anxious, worried, shocked. And God says, fear not. Stop being afraid. Why should we stop being afraid, ladies and gentlemen? Because God is with us. And he says, don't be fearful, shocked, anxious, for I am thy God. And ladies and gentlemen, if there's anything I believe in this current status in America and on a global basis, I believe if there's any text in any place in the scripture that we need to cling on to, hang on to, and let it be our verse for the day, the month, of the week, is this text in Isaiah 41:10. Fear not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will uphold thee, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness.
Yes.
Dr. Phelps, speak to that text further as to how we need to embrace that from the Christian standpoint.
We can apply that personally by making that my verse.
Yes.
It's God speaking to me.
Yes.
We know that this was originally written by Isaiah to the nation of Israel.
Yes.
But there are many things in the scriptures that a believer, that is some of the people of God, can claim and make it a personal thing. Fear thou not, God speaking to me. Don't be afraid. And trust in him. Put our confidence, our trust in him. There's another passage of scripture that I want to mention that is a really great help to me. And it's this in Psalm 56, verse number 3. The psalmist said, what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee.
Amen.
Being afraid is natural. It's natural for us humans to have fear. But God is telling us to replace that with the trust in God.
And that
replace
trust in God would be faith.
Replace the fears that we have with our faith in God.
Yes. So, in other words, Dr. Phelps, what you're saying, and for our listeners, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, you're tuned in to Let's Face the Issues. This is Dr. Youngblood. We're talking with Dr. Neil Phelps today, and we're dealing with the subject of faith in God rather than fearing what is happening around us. You can dial 831-0917, 831-0917. Your telephone call gets you directly through to the studios, right to our microphones. I want to hear from you. What are you worried about? What are you frightened about? What are you fearful of today? And watching and listening to this 24/7 pandering to the fear of people. And so, Dr. Phillips, what you're just saying in the text that you just read and the previous one that we talked about, when you turn on television, ladies and gentlemen, and see the CNN anchors wanting to bring about further fear, you can just simply reject that out of hand. Listen, learn, but try to find truth out of what is being said and filter it down. I try to watch several channels, and I listen to what one says. I watched the other day when Vice President Pence and his staff were meeting in relationship to the coronavirus, and they were talking about what Dr. Fauci had said, what they're finding, what they're doing, and getting the test kits out and how many they would get out, et cetera. And I rolled to then the Communist Network News, and they were referring to the very same conference that I had just watched every word of the conference coming from Vice President Pence. I had watched and listened to everything they'd said, and I turned to the CNN channel, and in watching it, listening, they had a whole panel of people, and they were saying diametrically opposite of what the statements had just been made by Vice President Pence and his commission, his group. Totally opposite. They were twisting it to what they wanted their narrative to be. So, ladies and gentlemen, we need to recognize that we need to fear not. God is with us. Dr. Phelps, there's another text. I don't know if you have that available. Let's talk about Philippians 4:6. Do you have that available? Philippians 4:6, ladies and gentlemen, is another good text that I believe we need to learn, hang on to, inculcate in our lives that would defend us in this time in which we're living, that would protect us from the onslaught of fear. Dr. Phelps just mentioned it's only human nature for us to be fearful of things that we don't know or don't see. This is the reason I believe, ladies and gentlemen, if at no other time in our nation would be now that we make fear into faith and allow faith to dispatch and to remove fear. That doesn't mean that we're not to be concerned. That doesn't mean that we're not to be proactive, but we need to replace fear with faith. Dr. Phelps, what does that say in Philippians 4:6?
In the book of Philippians chapter 4, the Apostle Paul is telling us to have a secure mind, to be that of that mind, like-minded with Christ. And he says, I quote Philippians 4:6, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." When he says, "Be careful for nothing," he doesn't say don't worry about anything. He's trying to tell us don't be over-anxious about things.
Yes.
Don't be over-anxious for things, but talk to God in prayer about them.
Yes.
So much of the time we talk to our neighbors. We are in conversation with others and our friends and our neighbors at work and so forth, but we don't ever talk to God about it.
That's right.
So he says, by prayer and supplication, and in everything. And I've learned in my lifetime that I can talk to God about every area of my life.
Yes.
My personal life, my personal health, about society, about what's going on in the world, and what's going on at church, what's going on in Washington. We need to talk to God about all of those things.
You're right.
And when we pray, let's do something else, too. Let's thank God for the health that we do have.
Yes.
I think so much of the time we neglect to be thankful that we do have health and strength and body and mind.
Yes. Every morning I wake up, I say, "Thank you, Lord, for waking me up today." Yes. It is a marvelous fact, ladies and gentlemen, that we ought to replace our fear with faith. And that text, and I love that verse, Dr. Phelps, "Be anxious for nothing." And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, it's a prohibition. It's a prohibition from God. God says, "Be anxious." And the word anxious means to be worried, to fret, and to be distraught. "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication." And by the way, Dr. Phelps, that's a fascinating text to study. Prayer and then supplication. What's the difference between prayer and supplication? It is our general prayers, and then supplication goes back to specific requests before God. As you said, talking about our health and specifically praying about this nationwide global pandemic with the coronavirus, they will bring this before God. don't be anxious. In fact, one theologian put it this way, the prohibition, do not be anxious, is a prohibition on fear. But the prohibition is immediately followed by the means by which God intends us to fight the fear. Yeah. And that's through prayer and supplication. It is a fascinating study. He goes on to say, let your request be made known to God. In short, pray, cry out to God, be humble in dependence upon God, and allow Him to give the faith. Yeah. And that's a wonderful thought, ladies and gentlemen.
We can replace fear with faith.
Yes, that's right.
And I believe that as you read the New Testament especially, but of course all of the Bible, God encourages us to overcome everything by faith.
That's right.
Listen to 1 John chapter 5. The Bible tells us in 1 John chapter 5, verse number 5, who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? And that especially is a verse that encourages faith that's focused upon a Savior, the Lord Jesus
yes.
Christ. Without the Lord in our lives, without being a person of God, that is, people of God, and having faith, real faith, then we can fall for any kind of falsehood that may come. The Bible tells us, this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Now, the world is full of fear, but we can be full of faith.
That's it.
So let's allow the Lord to build faith in us, and there will be less fear.
Yes. Dr. Phillips, let me ask you a question, and I don't think this would put you on the spot, but for the benefit of our listeners, and I know theoretically, philosophically, and theologically, we can say that we need to replace fear with faith. Perhaps we have someone listening today and they say, that's wonderful, but how do you do it? How do we do that? What would you give as just simple spiritual advice, biblical advice? How do we replace that fear with faith? It's easy to say, difficult to do, many would be saying today.
The answer to that is very easy, because the Bible tells us that faith comes by hearing the Word of God. And so you cannot have faith without hearing the truth. Truth is a vital ingredient in the formula for faith. And we have the Bible, the inspired scriptures.
Yes.
The words of the only true God. It's God's special revelation to mankind, given by inspiration. And the scriptures are so important in relation to having faith. So biblical faith focuses upon the precious promises of God in the scriptures. When we say biblical faith, we mean the exercise of wholehearted confidence in the promises of God. For example, in Genesis chapter 12, God told Abraham to leave his country, his kindred, his father's house, and go to the promised land. Now, Abraham didn't just say, well, those are fine words to hear, but I don't know if I can do that or not.
Mm-hmm.
But the Bible tells us in the book of Hebrews chapter 11 that he responded in the proper way to God's command, God's word, God's promises, and he left his home. He left his kindred. He left his father's house. And he went to the promised land.
Yes.
And so he exercised real faith.
Real faith. And Dr. Phelps, you touched on it a moment ago with one of the other statements you made, and you're referring to Romans, the 10th chapter, and the unit of thought is verses 14 through 17. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by, it's a little Greek word, dia, means through. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by, through the word of God. So one of the suggestions, recommendations that I would make for our listeners is, rather than dwelling on the fear factor, fill that with faith, and by getting into the Word of God, reading large portions of the Word, reading the Scripture, meditating on the Scripture, allowing the Scripture to give calmness and peace and comfort and encouragement, because it's God's way of speaking to us. When we pray, we're speaking to God. When we read the Word, study the Word, gives God an opportunity to speak to us.
Yes.
Speak to that thought.
Well, whenever we're looking into the Word of God, we find that we become more like-minded with God, the Father. We have the God-given scriptures to teach us the mind of God. So what more we spend reading, hearing, thinking about, meditating upon the scriptures, the more likely we'll be thinking thoughts that build faith in us.
Yes.
And a walk by faith is a walk in the truth that is according to the scriptures. This matter of living by faith means that we'll be like-minded with God the Son as well. I read in Philippians chapter 3, but also in chapter number 2, it says in verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And Jesus, you see, had a submissive mind. He humbled himself as the servant and always did what pleases the Father. The more we know of the scriptures, the truth of the Word of God, the more we'll be thinking with the Son of God, who always did the will of God. And so when we have the mind of Christ, we'll have a walk that's pleasing to God.
Yes. Dr. Phelps, we got a minute or two, about a minute and a half left on the broadcast. Share with our listeners Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, and then verse 6, because that illustrates to our listeners, I believe, Dr. Phelps, a summary thought of what is faith and where does that faith come from, and without faith, what does it do? Hebrews 11, 1 and verse 6.
Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And we're told further that through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen are not made of things which do appear. But we'll have a biblical worldview.
So we do not see the end result of this coronavirus, but we can faith God through it. Ladies and gentlemen, I give you the final words. Here's words from another writer. Our nation is facing a real challenge right now, and it is right, and is a real gut check for Christians. Will we trust in Christ, suffer faithfully, show compassion, and bear witness, or will we get swept away in the panic that's covering our land? Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us today. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as, once again, we face the issue.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located just 1 mile south of I-295. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study, prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in the same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen. Have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located 1/2 mile south of I-295. FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 9:45 p.m., for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study. Prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in the same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard in its entirety 9 p.m. on 100.3 FM and 93.3 HD3. You're also invited to tune in Sunday mornings at 8 a.m. on Talk 100.3 for expository preaching. Tune in and invite others to listen.